I wonder how many of us this morning have a mountain that we think is too high for us to climb, or a sorrow that we think is too deep to soothe, or a burden that we think is too heavy to carry. I'm sure every one of us have things like that, or have had things like that in our life. And we experience that weight of depression, that weight of hopelessness, as we look at whatever that particular thing is. You know, God is bigger than all your problems. God is bigger than all the weights in your life. God cares. Like the song said, if He carried the weight of the world on His shoulder, on His back, then let me tell you something, He can carry you. And let's ask God for our time this morning as we look at breaking chains of the past. Lord, we thank You this morning that You're a God that's bigger than all of our difficulties, bigger than all the obstacles in our life. We thank You, Lord, so much that You do care about us. And we ask You, Jesus, that You would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As Brent was sharing earlier during the scripture reading, many of you I know personally, some of you I do not. But one thing I know for sure, I have learned not to be surprised anymore at the things that I hear and find out about people's lives. Nothing shocks me anymore. I'm sometimes amazed at how well some people seem adjusted to life when I find out their life story. And yet sometimes those things that we seem so well adjusted to, our well-adjustedness is a cover for that hidden thing in our heart, that hidden secret, that thing that we really wished never had happened. And since it's happened, we felt as a victim for all of our life. It could have been with your parents. Nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to parent-child relationships. I'm really shocked, but not so much so, when I hear some of the things that go on between parents and children. What I'm shocked about is that the kid made it, not that it happened. I'm shocked when I see children who have been burned with cigarette butts, or children who have been grossly abused verbally, children who have had their self-esteem rubbed in the dirt day after day after day, and they actually seem to be like they're doing all right. Except once you get to know them and once the stresses of life become enough, they don't do all right. And it's always like they've got a monkey on their back. Or maybe for you it was a teacher. Maybe for you it was a close friend. Maybe for you it was a relationship. And it left a deep scar that has not gone away. When people say that time heals all wounds, that's not true. Time doesn't heal at all. And many people go through their life with grudges. I mean, I'm sure that if I ask every one of you, what was the most devastating experience of your life? Some of you might say, well, how many of them do you want to know? But every one of you could tell me something that happened to you. It has been there. It has made an iron brand on your mind. And you know it. It's there. It happened. It may have been the father. May have been your mother. May have been a relative. May have been a mate, an ex-mate. May have been a friend. It may have been an employee. May have been a coach. May have been a teacher. Or it may have been a circumstance. Our past is made up of two things, people and events, people and circumstances. And some of us have had good circumstances and fairly good relationships. Some of us have had good circumstances and bad relationships. And most of us have had a mixture of anywhere in between. The difficulty comes in that it has a stranglehold over the way you live your daily life now. My wife and I were visiting yesterday, and it struck us that most people are not concerned about dying. I don't know if you knew that. Most people don't think about dying till it is right hitting them head on. You know what they're thinking about? You know what's on your mind today, on my mind today? Living. How am I going to live? How can I have a better, more satisfying, fulfilling life? How can my life be better? How can I be better? How can I get more joy and abundance out of life? That's why we've titled this series, Secrets to Happiness. Last week, if you remember, we talked about there's always another chance. Dealing with failure, personal failure in our life. This week, we're going to discuss breaking the chains of the past. If you are living in the past, then it is impossible to have an exciting life now. And many of us, to one degree or the other, the past just kind of looms as a cloud over our life wherever we go and whatever we do. Whether it's we don't trust people, whether it's we don't trust God because of people, whether it's because of the background that we've had, we just live our life always expecting bad things to happen. Many I know of today are afraid to get married. It's so ironic. You talk to young men and women, they have all this great desire, but no desire for the responsibility. No desire for what would seem to them the prophetic message of failure and hurt because of what they've seen in a ruined, unhappy relationship of the parents. And so the desire's there and the wantingness, but not the willingness because of the fear of what inevitably seems to happen to just about everybody you know. Your relatives, your parents, and everyone else. Could be a job. A job situation. And you try and you try, but you seem dogged, always trying to succeed and yet never seeming to be able to. Always seem to be getting in trouble for things you didn't do, you think. Or maybe you got an attitude problem. And it's followed you all through life. A chip on the old shoulder, you know. Everybody owes me something. Because I had a depraved childhood. Man, I was poor. And people took advantage of me. And so you owe me something. There was a man. A little story I wanted to relate to you today. I thought many of us could relate to. There was a man from a rather large family. The father in this family was not exactly what you'd call an exemplary father in that he played favorites. Some of you, I'm sure, can relate to that. Some of you either were the favorite or you weren't the favorite. Or your father didn't do that. Maybe your mother did. Maybe neither one. But this man's father played favorites. And it was rather devastating on these young men as they grew up. Rather devastating because they knew that the father always particularly favored the one. The one. Gave him extra things, had extra privileges, you know, got the new Porsche, and they got Chevettes. Or Honda, whichever you prefer. And this guy always had the fancy stuff. Well, one particular time, and the father being really pretty foolish, set his son up for something very devastating. His sons were off on one of those European-type vacations. And they had kind of an emergency, and so the father sent this son, he'd kept to himself, to stay with him. And he sent the son, and when the brothers realized at the telegram that he was coming, they thought, you know, now's our chance. I've hated this little lowlife ever since he was born. He's gotten everything, all the attention. We had to pay for our vacation out of our own pocket. And here this guy's coming, you know, probably to spy on us and tell the old man what we're up to. Let's get him. Let's get him. Let's set him up near the border so he gets thrown in jail and gets really messed up. I mean, we'd like to kill him. They were thinking of killing him, hiring some hitman or devising some plan to kill this guy. Instead, they loaded him down with some stuff and got him in jail. For the next 13 years, approximately, this man spent time in prison. And then he got out of prison, pretty devastating years, got out of prison, and There was a particular official in the government where he was that took a liking to him. So they invited him to his home and he began working for this individual. And pretty soon, the wife of this individual fell in love with this guy and framed him for rape. And so back in prison he was again. His total, I'm sorry, was approximately 13 years in prison after this incident. During this time, again, for some reason, he found favor with the individuals who were in charge of him. And so he was a very wise young man. He had a lot of wisdom, a lot of wisdom you don't find around today, a lot of discernment. And the leader of the country had a particular problem, and for some reason, he called on this young man. This young man helped him with his problem in a rather incredible way. And this man decided, any man who's got the kind of smarts you have and the kind of knowledge and understanding you have, I want working for me. And so he became the director of internal affairs for this country. And by now, about 20 years has gone by, and a neighboring country was having some difficulties, some internal problems, and a tremendous hunger in the land. Unbeknownst to him, his brothers were also involved in trying to get food for their own people. And one day, here comes this man's brothers. They didn't recognize him. He had taken on a new look, that's for sure, since he was the young lad that they had sold into prison. And here he was, ruling this country. The director of internal affairs, second to this leader, this dictator. And they were coming to him for food, and he recognized them. They did not recognize him. And I want to read you what this man said to his brothers. This man's name was Joseph. And very few of you may have endured the teasing of your brothers and sisters. You may endure the ridicule of your father. But you did not have someone throw you into prison and leave you to rot and die for 13 years of your life. Sold into a land, you did not know the language, you didn't know how to communicate, you're just a kid. Now, I want to tell you, that would be pretty devastating, wouldn't it? That would have a real devastation on your life, on your self-image, your value, your self-worth, and to not be loved, and to come from that kind of a situation is just unbelievable. And this man, it was close to the end of his life, said this in Genesis. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him and said, "We are your slaves." They finally realized that their brother was Joseph. They finally realized it. They had to come back to Joseph a couple times for food. They finally realized, this guy is our brother. What are we going to do? He's alive. We thought he was dead. They made up a big lie and told their father he was dead, and here he was alive. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Now, I want to tell you, that's pretty incredible. Because I don't know about you, but you know what would keep me going for 13 years in prison? Hate. Hate. When I get out of here, I am going to tear them limb from limb. That's the nature of man, isn't it? I would have devised every kind of sadistic way to brutalize and kill and maim my brothers for what they've done to me. And many people live their lives like that. Many of you aren't that bad. You'll just never speak to the individual again. You won't write him. You won't talk to him. Could be a relative. Could be a friend. And you carry that around with you all the time. And it is slowly but surely killing you. Much of the problems that people have today physically are related to their hatred, their bitterness, their unwillingness to forgive and forget the past. And so now, not only has the individual hurt you then, but they have got complete control of your life now. See? They control you right now. How did this man, after 20 to 30 years, have the nerve to look his brothers in the eye and say, "My goodness, guys, don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I care about you guys. God has done something wonderful. God was bigger than you guys. God was stronger than you guys. And what you intended for harm, and I know you did, you really wanted to hurt me, God turned around in His magically powerful, incredible way, and He used it for good." And then it says, He reassured them and spoke kindly to them. The first point I want to cover today, if you're going to overcome your past, is you must be convinced that you are not a victim. There are no victims with God. You were not a victim. And our society has gone on and on and on. And many of you, you've been to the psychiatrist, and they've told you you're a victim. If you want your life to change today, you have to throw out everything they told you, because you are not a victim. God has always been and will always be working in your life. God is concerned about your life. Was Corrie Ten Boom a victim of Hitler? Corrie Ten Boom has been all over the world today. And a multitude of people's lives have been enriched by the story of the hiding place that today would not be enriched had it not been for the brutality of Nazi Germany. I am not praising Nazi Germany. A criminal is still a criminal. But God takes the victim and turns them into the victor. If you understand God, God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than the mountain. God is bigger than the storm. And God can take whatever it is that has happened in your life and turn it for good. And I have seen Him do it with many of you I know personally. With others in my own life, I've seen God do this personally. I remember one young individual I was visiting with quite some time ago who had been through a number of treatments, psychiatric treatment, and the psychiatrist had told him, "Your father is your problem. Your father is your problem. Your father did this to you. Your father, your father, your father." And so this individual hated the father, absolutely hated the father. And the father had been in on the sessions, and the psychiatrist had told it right to his face, "You've ruined this child. You've ruined this child." And I remember I had the opportunity to visit with this individual. And I told them to their face in love, because I knew that their whole future depended on whether or not they believed and did what I was going to tell them. And I looked them in the eye, really with tears in my eyes, and said, "Until you quit blaming your father and realize you are not a victim, but God has had a very special, special plan for you. Until you realize that God says He has given you the very best parents you could ever have. The book of Acts says that. You are destined to failure, to depression, and eventually it's going to kill you the rest of your life." I gave them some specific things to do, and a week later they went and did them. Got with their father, apologized to the father for their hatred, didn't blame, quit blaming. The father was speechless, didn't know what to say. Today the individual has an incredible relationship with their parents. It is unbelievable what God is doing. Absolutely unbelievable. You've got to be convinced God is bigger than your problem. Secondly, you've got to go back in life before you forget. You've got to forgive. Colossians says, "In case one has a grievance against another, forgive just as the Lord has forgiven you." You say, "Mark, how can I forgive?" You don't know what I went through. It's so easy for you to stand up there and say that. Well, let's talk about God for a minute. What did He go through for you? He didn't deserve any of it. He wasn't a victim either, by the way. He was a victor. He did it for you. If He can forgive you, you can forgive whoever and whatever it was or whoever it was that did what they did to you. You must. You must. Or you'll never be able to forget it. That's why some of you have tried the forget method. It hasn't worked. You've got to go back systematically and realize, well, you know that individual. I've never forgiven them. And you know what it means to forgive someone? It means to release them from what they owe you. It means to let them go. It means to just give up the debt. It means to take it and rip it in half. Let them off the hook. And that's what God has done for you with His Son, Jesus. Until you do that, you'll never be able to forget. So it's very, very important that secondly, you forgive. Period. Whether you knew the person, whether they were a stranger, you forgive. You forgive. And I guarantee you, you will experience a rush in life that you've never experienced before. To first come to the conclusion that God can work anything in my life for good, that I am not a victim, I am a victor, because God is doing something special in my life. Boy, did you know every single guy or girl in the Old Testament that was very special had atrocious lives? Moses, they were going to kill little Moses. His mother had to put him in a little basket, just like Willow. And a Laura Dannon, and put him in the water and push it down the stream. Left his mother when he's just this small. Raised in a family wasn't even his. Became one of the greatest men that ever lived. Your background is not your hindrance. What you think right now is the last thing. Isaiah 43:18. Do not call to mind the former things, nor dwell on things of the past. Behold, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Will you not perceive it? Some of you, only dwell. Only dwell. Your life is continually a replay of what's just happened. A replay of yesterday. A replay of last night's conversation. A replay of yesterday's hurt. A replay of 10 years ago. A replay, reruns. Don't you get tired of reruns? I get so tired of reruns. I want something new. And you want something new. God has made you for something new. You'll only have something new if you quit playing the reruns and let God design a brand new movie. And God wants to do that for you. You must learn not to live in the past, not to carry the grudges, let them go, be excited that God is bigger than all my problems. And I guarantee you, you do these three things and you will snafu, break apart the chains that are around you, around your throat, the ball and chain that you go around life just dragging around. And some, you know, sometimes you can tell it's written all over a person's face. God has got something new for you. Today God's got something new for you. And wherever you are in life, God has got a fresh start for you right now. Whether you've been a Christian, you've been running from God, whether you're still seeking after God, whether you don't know if there is a God or not, God is there, God is concerned, and God can change your life from what it is right now and what it has been. It is a lie that we are a sum total of the past. We are not a sum total of what has happened to us. You are not. I am not. I once was. I am not today. And each day I'm learning to expect God for something new. And yes, there's been things that have happened to me. Things that have been, could have been, truly, truly devastating. Now, something happened to me about 11 years ago that as I look back, could have really ruined the rest of my life. Could have made me so bitter, so angry, and so hateful with a particular individual. And instead, God has been able to heal that wound. And I just forgave that individual by the grace of God. And we've been able to go on and build and establish a relationship that could have really colored everything I did the rest of my life. God has got something new for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning.